You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless.
If you have your copy of Scripture, go to Proverbs 15, where we're finishing up a series that we began 4 weeks ago that we entitled Difficult People, and hopefully some of the stuff we talked about will come in helpful this week and as we enter into the Christmas season and see those people that we haven't seen since last year. And so the truth is that we all have those people in our lives that bring challenges to us, that are hard to love, but we've discovered in the series that it's not just those people, that there are times that we are those people. And that's part of what we wanted to accomplish is that, number one, that we would be aware and recognize when we're the difficult people and that we would take responsibility for our actions. Another goal in the series was to learn to deal with the difficult people in our lives and even minister to them in a way that would bring honor to God. And so over the last few weeks, we've looked, the first week, looking at the needy people in our life. Week two, we looked at the controllers, those that kind of manipulate things. And then last week, we talked about hypocrites, and we talked about all of you that weren't here last week. And so, not really. We discovered that all Christians are hypocrites. It's the number one gripe that non-Christians have about Christians is that they're hypocrites. And the truth is that we are many times. We say one thing, we do another. And so we dealt with that. Today we're going to conclude our series looking and talking about critical people. And when we say critical people, we're referring to those people that nitpick and criticize anything and everything that we do. And sometimes moms can kind of fall into this category, and I want to clarify something here. Moms can get blamed at times for being overcritical. And I mean, it's just in their blood, in their DNA, to always be critiquing and giving advice. And I believe one of the reasons may be because they're paying attention. And they pay attention better than most dads. In fact, my mom, many of you know, my mom passed away in August, and she was 85 years old. She was always one of those moms that she was very loving and encouraging me, but she critiqued me along the way. And the last week of her life, she felt horrible. I mean, I'd call her every day anyway, but even her last week of life, she was feeling horrible. And I'm sitting there, and I would call her every day, and she just sounded terrible. And Jordan Worley was having open heart surgery that week, and she knew about that. She always kept track and prayed for the people back here. She lived in Texas, and so she's feeling horrible. And even in the midst of her feeling horrible, she decided to critique me and to encourage me to make sure you're staying in touch with that family. Make sure, you know, and just tell me what to do. I mean, she's on her deathbed basically, but she always critiqued me. My whole life she was that way. She coached me and she critiqued me, but she always did it with love. And that was the difference. That's the difference. That's one of the things I want to point out. When we talk about critical people, I'm talking about those people that nitpick and criticize anything and everything we do, but it's not laced with encouragement and love. In fact, it's just the opposite. And for those on the receiving end, it can be a very painful thing. Like everything we've talked about in this series, dealing with critical people is not a new issue. It's been around for a long time. There's many examples throughout Scripture of this and of people that were overly critical. It begins in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. And if you married someone maybe that your family didn't like, then you and Moses have something in common. In Numbers 12, you can see how Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, criticized Moses because he married a Cushite woman. And another example is in the New Testament, where there were a lot of people that would criticize the Apostle Paul for not being a very good speaker. And if you read through his writings, it seems like he was maybe a little bit defensive of that. Over and over, he would say, he would always kind of say, I may not be eloquent in speech, but I preach the gospel. And we don't know how sure, we're not really sure how good or bad of a speaker that he was, but we do know one thing, that he was long-winded. That he wasn't concise in his thoughts. In fact, one time in Acts 20, he preached so long that this kid named Eutychus was sitting in the window, and he fell asleep, and he fell out the window, and he died. And Paul had to stop his preaching, his sermon, go outside, bring him back to life, and then he went back and preached through the night. And so, teenagers, that's always why I'm always wanting to keep you awake. I don't want you to fall asleep and hit your head. Or one thing you can say, I may speak long, but nobody's ever died as far as I know. So anyway, another example in Scripture was one of Jesus, who was perfect in every way. He was without sin, and yet he had people around him all the time that were critical of him. The Pharisees, the Roman soldiers, were always picking him apart, often criticized for doing things like eating with sinners or healing on the Sabbath and on and on and on. And so the bottom line is that critical people have been around for a long time, and the reality is that we have to acknowledge this, that we will be criticized, that people can be critical, and it can be over anything and everything. And so let's just kind of get it out there, kind of say this out loud, repeat after me, I will be criticized. It's just part of life. It's part of life. And so I don't know who it will be for you. It may come from your friends. It may come from the people at work or school. And it may be that they criticize you over being a Christian or a church person, that you're holier than thou, that you didn't go to the party with them, that you're saving yourself for marriage. They may criticize you for the, how stupid is that for you to be doing that? Or it could be from a family member who criticizes the way you spend money, or the way you don't spend money, or the way you dress your kids, that they may question the path you've chosen for your life. Or if you're a stay-at-home mom, the working moms are like, oh, so you don't do anything with your life. And if you're a working mom, the stay-at-home moms are like, oh, so you don't love your kids. And so it's like you just can't win. There's some people who are in a marriage with an overcritical spouse, and that can be very painful. Sometimes the criticism comes from other Christians. Christians can be the worst about this, and they can nitpick anything from the smallest things of what translation of Scripture that you read from to how much faith you have. Like, if you had more faith, then you'd be married, or you'd be out of debt, or your kids would straighten up. And so on some level, we all face criticism, and it will come from many sources. But when it comes from the people that you love, or the people that are closest to you, it has a way of ripping out your heart. So how do you deal with the overly critical people in your life? But before we look at that, it would be a huge mistake if we ignored the value of constructive criticism, because we can learn so much about those people in our life that love us enough, that care for us enough to speak truth and love. And there's a passage, Proverbs 15, 31 through 20, 31 and 32, that says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Where are you going to live? In the home of the wise. If you listen to those people around you that care for you, that love you, that want the best for you, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. But look at verse 32. If you reject discipline, what happens? You only harm yourself. If you listen to correction, you will grow in understanding. Never ignore the value of constructive criticism. One of the most valuable things that you can do as a leader or parent or as a Christian or student or employee is to crave helpful feedback and listen to constructive criticism. Learn to ask questions. And that's so important in your marriage, when your spouse who loves you enough in a loving way and constructive way offers you feedback, or when your kids in a non-confrontal time, a time where there's not a fight going on, but just kind of sitting around, and they look at you and you say, Mom or Dad, it just seems like you always just yell at me all the time, and I don't want it to be that way. And you offer constructive criticism. When a boss or a coworker or a friend in a right way offers constructive criticism, it's valuable because it has the potential to sharpen you and to make you a better person. And according to Proverbs, it can keep you from bringing harm to yourself and keep you from living in the land of fools. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. I mean, we can leave right there. If we camped out on that and we really received that truth, that would save a lot of us from a lot of heartbreak if we would just receive that verse. Maybe one of those verses you want to write on a card and just stick it on your dash or your mirror, just as a reminder. There's value in listening to constructive criticism. And so today, for the rest of the time, I want us to talk more about unjust criticism. And as in other weeks, I want to talk about three prayers that we can pray as we deal with the overly critical people in our life, because prayer can help keep us from reacting in an ungodly way. Because our desires we're trying to figure out how to deal with difficult people in a way that honors God. And so we want to learn to respond with the Spirit-led direction. And so the first prayer that I would challenge you to pray as you're dealing with unjust criticism is number one, God, help me to know when to respond to criticism. Help me to know when to respond criticism. Now, notice I said when to respond. I didn't say when to react, because that's what we often do. Somebody makes us mad, we get upset, and so what do? One of the popular things today, we get on social media and we just let them have it. You know, my mom is so goofy. My mom is so mean. My dad is just unfair. Or they get on social media and they speak in code with just enough truth to let other people know what somebody did. And let me just say that we try to remind us of that all the time. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, especially if you're a follower of Jesus, don't do that. You're hurting the cause of Christ just by spewing something. Don't deal with a private matter in a public way. If you got a problem with somebody, go to them. Amen? We need to learn to respond, not react. Because if you react, your reaction 99.99% of the time will be wrong. And prayer will help you to only respond at times when God's leading you to respond, which means that there are times when you don't respond to criticism. The first year of Living Stones, this is our 10th year, we planted this church in Grain Valley, and actually met Grain Valley High School for 6 years before we moved here 4 years ago in the fall. And I remember receiving an email from a pastor in Grain Valley that was upset and offended that we started a church in his town. And for about 3 pages, he just let me have it and let our church have it. And he was just, he was just really upset. And so I immediately started typing a response and all that kind of stuff. And fortunately, before I sent it, I had some wise counsel around me, my wife and some other men, that just kind of said, don't respond. There's no truth. Now here's the deal. I remember there was a class, one thing I remembered out of going to college. Here's one I remembered. I remember a class, it was one of my Bible classes, where the professor talked about criticism. When people criticize you, one of the questions you ask, if somebody is critical of you, whether they're right or wrong, one of the questions that you need to deal with is as you ponder what they're saying about you, is you need to ask yourself this question. Just get alone, get quiet, ask yourself this question: is there any truth in what they're criticizing me for? I mean, that's value, huge. Is there any truth? And so that was one of the times when I actually used my college education. And I remember sitting down and say, is there any truth in what this guy's saying? No. He was totally off base. And so I took the wise counsel of my wife and the other men around, and I didn't respond to that. To this day, that guy doesn't know whether or not, let's think about technology, you don't know if they got the email or not. He doesn't know whether I received that email. I see him almost monthly. And ever since, I bought him breakfast one time without him even knowing. Just secretly bought him breakfast. And there's times I can talk to him, and it's, he doesn't even know. I treat him just like always. I wish God's best on him. There's times when we don't respond to unjust criticism. There are times when the right thing to do is to not to respond. But there are also maybe times when an explanation could bring some understanding and could diffuse unjust criticism. There's an example of this in Judges. The guy by the name of Gideon did this with a group called the Ephraimites. And the Ephraimites were criticizing Gideon. They were upset at some of the things he was doing. And the Bible says they challenged and criticized him sharply. That they were questioning his leadership. And the Bible said that Gideon said, they asked Gideon, why have you treated us like this? And this time he answered the criticism, and he basically said, told him, take an inventory of your life under my leadership. And notice that you're eating better food, you're making spiritual
progress. God has given us our enemy into our hands, and he answered their unjust criticism. And look at verse 3 of that. The result of that is said that the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's prayer, and they were no longer angry. A spirit-directed response diffuses unjust criticism. And there are times when you could be led by God to do this as well, to not respond to unjust criticism or to give an explanation that might bring some understanding. And so God, pray, God, help me know when to respond to unjust criticism. Number two, God, help me to know when to dismiss invalid criticism. Help me to know when to shake off and to dismiss something that's not accurate. Now watch this. If five or six people are telling you the same people, five or six people that love you, that want their best, if they're saying the same thing, you need to listen to them, because that's constructive criticism and you should listen. They're trying to protect you. But if there are one or two people who don't know you, who don't know the whole context of your life, or if it's coming from a hypercritical, negative person who hasn't said anything positive since the 1970s, that there may be a time, like Taylor Swift, that you shake it off and you dismiss it. We see Jesus do this in 1 Peter 2. I love Peter's summary of Jesus in 1 Peter 2:23. He describes it this way. He said, when they, meaning the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers, those that criticized them over and over ago, when they criticized him, when they hurled insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus, the ultimate leader, was criticized, but he chose to stay silent. For those of you in this room that aspire to do great things, who want to make a difference with their life, and I pray that's all of us. I pray that we all want to make a difference with life. For those of you that are aspiring to be a leader, I promise you that people are going to criticize you. I try to prepare young guys in ministry all the time. I'm really strong in calling. God, I think there's a lot of guys that are going to the ministry right now, and women that are going to ministry right now, and they're just kind of treating it as a job. I'm an old-time guy. I believe that calling has got to be there. Because it will, as you walk into ministry, there will be times when it'd be easy to walk away, and except for the calling God has on your life, you'll just check out. So anybody I talk with that's going, that's any type of leader at all, I try to prepare them that you will be criticized. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to agree with you. In fact, the more effective you are, the better you are at work, the better leader you are at school, the more impactful you are in the kingdom of God, the more critics you'll pick up along the way. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You have to learn to dismiss, to shake off, and to rise above invalid criticism. And that's so hard to do, because if you're like me, I want people to like me. I used to be really bad at this. I really used to have a man-pleasing spirit where I wanted everybody to like me. And it didn't take me very long to find out that I'm not going to please everybody. And then when it comes to leadership, you're going to make decisions that are going to make some people... I don't on purpose make people mad most of the time. I don't try to, but it doesn't matter what as a leader. If you're a leader at all, if you have any type of responsibility at all, you'll know that you'll make some decisions that will make some people mad. It doesn't matter what decision you make, you're going to have somebody not upset with you, or that's upset with you. And so so that's why criticism can be so hurtful to us. Now here's a problem. We often care more about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. We often elevate the opinions of people above the opinion of God. And it doesn't matter who you are, especially as a leader, everybody's not going to like you, and you can't please everyone. But here's the good news. Here's the good news right here. You can please God. And when that is your goal, when your goal is, God, I want to honor you with my life. God, I want to please you. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what those at work say. I want to honor you with my life. When that is your goal, it will set you free from being controlled by the opinion of other people. Instead of living for a crowd you can't please, You can live for the audience of one, of God, who you can praise. And when you do that, that will set you free from that desire to have everybody like you. Now watch this. If you are overly sensitive to criticism, it could be that you have been elevating the opinions of people above the opinions of God. Being obsessed with what other people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. So God, help me to rise above that. I mean, there were times, like I said, early on and even since we started this church, when I let criticism have an effect. I mean, there'd be times when I couldn't sleep at night. There'd be times when I'd be so obsessed with everything just swirling around. And I'm so grateful for my wife and for other wise people in my life that not only challenged me, but helped me to put things into perspective. Because, man, I would just work myself up into a tizzy. You ever do that? You ever get so worked up on something that I think the Bible mentions this, where it feels like your bed's swimming around, and you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind just starts racing? Is that just me? And man, it's always good to have wise people in your life that kind of put things in perspective. I'm not going to please everybody all the time, and that's not my responsibility. My ultimate responsibility is to pursue and to please God. And the closer that I get to Him, the less the critics bother me. And that helps me to rise above the critics and not let them into my heart, not let nitpicky people slow me down or sidetrack me. And that's so important for us to realize. And here's why. Here's why that's so important. This is going to sound like Blues Brothers, but you and I are on a mission from God. And that sounds kind of goofy, especially in light of that movie. But here's the deal. God created you with purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. And if you don't know it, you need to know it, that God has called you and equipped you to make a difference in this world. You're not just a stay-at-home mom. You're not just someone that works at the bank or mows yard. You are a child of God with a divine calling. You are a representative wherever you go, and you don't allow someone who doesn't understand that. You need to understand that. You don't allow somebody that doesn't understand that keep you from doing what God's called you to do. You don't allow someone who's hurting on the inside picking at you to pull you off your mission. You rise above it. Jesus took it. He didn't retaliate. And there were times when you do respond to criticism. There are times when you dismiss it and you ask yourself, is there any truth in what they're saying about me? And if there is, you own it and you confess it. If not, you let it go. We need God's wisdom and guidance in those situations. And we need to remember that we're not living for the approval of men. We're living for the approval of God. So rise above. I mean, so what if somebody doesn't like what you do? So what if someone doesn't like the way you look? You need to shake it off. Now, here's the most important prayer. And this won't shock you as we walk through this series, because the last prayer that we prayed each week was kind of an inward thing that we need to look at. It. So the third prayer is this: God, help me to overcome my own critical nature. I mean, you knew it was coming. Because we are all one of those critical people at one time or another. Isn't that right about you? It's right about me. Proverbs 12:18 says this: some people make cutting remarks. You know, those people that just tear down everybody around there. There's some people that are hurtful with their words. Their tongue is sharp and it's piercing. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. There's times that I know that there's times that I know that you are overcritical. And when we are, it reveals the weakness and the sin and the pride of our heart that says, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And when we're that way, we talked about it last week, we begin to start paying attention to what comes out of our mouth that shows us a picture of our hearts. When we start noticing that we're being overcritical, it's a sign that there's something going on inside of us that needs to be dealt with. It represents the ungodliness and the insecurity my heart. When I recognize that, when I ask God to search me, it's a prayer He seems to always answer. God, would you let me see myself the way you see me? He shows me. And if I 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me, to wipe the slate clean. And that puts me back into His presence. The closer I get to God, the more I know who I am in Christ, the more I remember what I am here for, the more that I remember that I'm created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. And it helps me to, it reminds me that I don't want to be an overly critical person. I don't want to be known as being negative. I want to speak healing and life into those around me. You're going to have that opportunity this week. You're going to see that person maybe you hadn't seen since last Thanksgiving. Those people that are really hard to love. You have any of those in your life? It's going to be test time. Here's your choice. You can choose to be negative and critical and to be cutting in your words. Or you can choose love. One thing I know is criticism never changes the world. Meaning that you'll not criticize your way into a better marriage. You'll not criticize your children into being more godly. You are to love them and to challenge them, but you don't tear them down. If you're overly critical of others, it's a sign that there's some pride and arrogance and insecurity at work within you. And I encourage you to take it to God, to confess it as sin, and to let Him purify your heart. And in His strength, choose love and choose to encourage and choose to empower those around you rather than be critical. It's so much easier to be critical, isn't it? Choose love. Choose to find things to celebrate, to focus on the good and choose to love the people up. So God, help us overcome our own critical heart and to love people rather than tear them down. Would you stand for prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, say, Dan, just as we were talking this morning, there's many things that God put His finger on about. There's areas where I've just been way too critical, and I just confess that. Would you just raise your hand, put it right back down? All over this room. That's all of us. Yeah. Something we always deal with. So God, I pray in Your presence and by Your power that we would recognize our sinfulness. God, that by the truth of Your Spirit that we would overcome this and be more like Your Son, Jesus. The reality for many of us is that we can be hypercritical, that we find fault everywhere, all the time. And sometimes we do it to make ourselves feel better. And I mean, if we tear down others, we kind of elevate ourselves. And God, help us to see how ugly that is. God, if that's at work in our heart, God, would You purify our hearts? So God, would You deal with me over the overly critical nature that I can have? Would You help me to change? God, would You start healing in the relationships where we've allowed criticism to destroy? God, give us the grace to walk into those situations, to help us own up to our part in those situations, to ask forgiveness, and to allow God to bring healing in there. God, this week, I pray that You go before us. God, as we're going to be with family, we're going to be with friends this week. And God just said it's going to ramp up over the next 30 days. God, would You give us the grace? And by Your Spirit, would You lead and guide us in those times that are difficult? God, would You help us to recognize in all those areas that we've talked about the last month of being difficult, God, would You help us to take ownership and recognize those? God, may almost daily, just a prayer be, God, would You show me my heart?